And good morning. So good to see you. If you are still looking for a seat, we do have a few on the edges here, and I see a few spaced out. If you've got any room beside you and you could scoot to the center, that would be great. And if you have had any questions, as Pastor Kyle welcomed you, or doubts as to why we have a new sanctuary being built, you're experiencing that right now. We have said it over and over again. We've recognized that we're going to need a bigger boat, and we're efforting to build that and make room for you, our neighbors. And we're so thankful that you're here to worship with us. My name is Ryan, and I'm one of the pastors here at City Church, and I wanted to just echo that welcome and let you know that we're so glad we're here. If you've been with us for some time, we've been working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we are going to pause that series for a few weeks as we step into this Advent season, 4 weeks that lead up to and prepare our hearts for the arrival of Jesus. That word Advent, if you're not familiar with it, in the original Latin, it means arrival or coming. It can be translated a few different ways depending on context, but it is this idea that we as a church, the people of God, would pause and have an expectancy of the arrival, the coming of the Messiah, King Jesus. And so, of course, on this side of the cross, we know that he did come, but it's good to remind our hearts to live in that same expectancy, yes, of his first coming and what he came to do, but also, because of that, assured that he will come again, his second coming. And I have titled this series many months ago, prepared this sermon series, at least outlined it, and spent some time with the Lord working our way through all of our preaching schedule for the year ahead. The title of this series is He Came to Die, which doesn't sound very Christmassy, and that's intentional. Because so often in this season, I fear that we forget what Jesus came to do, that he had a purpose and a mission when he came to dwell with us. C.S. Lewis said it beautifully, and it's been quoted in various ways by many pastors greater than I. The Son of God became a man so that men could become sons of God. This is what the incarnation, the fact that Jesus came, did for us. And in this first message, we're going to look at John chapter 1, the first 16 verses primarily of this book. Love made flesh. Because, as you can see, we are celebrating communion, and I desire that we would have some time to linger in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We're not going to read that entire chapter as we typically do on Sunday mornings. But as we don't do that, here's my invitation. Spend some time today reading John 1, verses 1 through 18. If a seminary spent an entire semester on that passage, it would not be enough. And so I won't nearly exhaust all of the truth and the power found in this text. These verses, they don't just open a gospel, they open up the heavens to declare the glory of Jesus. Alongside of Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1, this passage is one of the towering, highest Christological passages found in all of Scripture. And when I say Christological, what I mean by that is elevating and explaining who Jesus is, to know him. And in this passage, we get an understanding of who he is, but also what he came to do. John wastes no time. He doesn't begin his gospel in Bethlehem at the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. He doesn't begin, as other gospel writers do, with angels or shepherds. He begins with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John reaches beyond the manger. He reaches beyond history. He reaches further back than even Genesis goes, all the way into eternity past. You know, you can't go back further than God. The prologue of this gospel is not just a preface. It is a poem, some believe, taken from poetry in John's context. A symphony of the incarnation where every single phrase is theologically loaded with power and with eternity in mind. So let us pray and ask the Lord for his help to see all that he has for us in our short time together in this powerful text. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you are Emmanuel, You are God with us. We thank you, as we have just prayed, that you are present with us today. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd help us to see your glory, Jesus, to see what you came to do for us. And may that cause us to worship you, to live on mission with you, to understand more fully what we are celebrating this season as we prepare for that Christmas day. Help us to long for you to come again, Jesus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." These three statements that he makes all in one verse. The first thing that we see in this text is that the Word is majestic. He is God eternal. John begins by elevating the majesty of Christ. Before there was a universe, there was the Word. There was Jesus. And John makes three powerful assertions in this one verse. The first thing that he tells us is that the Word is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. That echoes, of course, the words of Genesis that are perhaps familiar with. That the Word is eternal. He was not created as some would surmise Jesus to have been. He is the eternal God. The second thing that John teaches us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That the Word is distinct from the Father. We see our Trinitarian theology, that the Godhead, there is one God, three persons. And we see this distinctly in John's message here, that the Word is distinct from the Father, that Jesus is the Word, and he was with God with a purpose. And the third thing that John tells us is the Word was God, that the Word is fully divine. Jesus is eternal, Jesus is distinct from the Father, and Jesus is fully divine. The great D.A. Carson wrote about this text, "The Word does not merely reflect God, he is God in his own right, yet in relationship with the Father." And this is the mystery and the glory of our faith, the Trinity breaking into our story, into history. As John continues, he was in the beginning with God, and in verse 3 he says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." This Jesus that John is elevating to us and teaching us who he is and what he has come to do, he declares that there is not anything that we see in the universe that was not made through Christ and for Christ. Of course, this echoes Colossians 1:16, that other high Christological passage that teaches us about Jesus. Jesus is not just some humble Galilean carpenter that lived a good life. He is the agent of creation. All things made by him, made for him, and through him, his power at work. Every atom in the universe owes its existence to him. If we could have seen the stars last night, they would have burned and we would have been able to see them because Jesus said so. That bright morning star that we see in the sky this morning that warms us in the cold is there because Jesus said so. He is sovereign over all of these things. And this is the power of the Advent season, one of the great things that we are reminded of. This eternal Word, the creator, the sustainer of all life, the life giver. He, as we will read on Christmas Eve in our Jesus Storybook Bible, became small. He came to be like us. Friends, let your heart pause there for a moment. This God, who is too vast for the universe, decided that he would be formed in the womb of a teenage girl. The God who spoke the galaxies into being would come and learn how to speak human words. What an amazing God. What humility to come and be like us. Verse 14, the peak of this passage. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Word, Jesus, came down into his creation. Majesty wrapped in mortality. Glory veiled in humanity. The infinite one, and yet he came as an infant. Eternal, and yet born in a particular time. Upholding the universe by the power of his word alone, and yet he would be carried in his mother's arms. Think about this. What kind of love? The Word is majestic, and he is worthy of all the glory and the honor and the praise that we could possibly muster, and even more than that. That is what he is worthy of, and yet again, he became small. Because the Word is majestic, but the Word is also love. Jesus didn't come simply to show up. He came to serve. And we see this love, the Word is love. We see the reality of this and the truth of this when we come to understand that he came to die for us. Verses 10 and 11, John says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people, what did they do? They rejected him. They did not receive him. You know, this is the tragedy of Christmas. Rejection. The light entered into the darkness, and the darkness tried to extinguish it. And yet, this too was no accident. God was not caught off guard by this reality. He came knowing that he would be rejected. The road from the manger would always lead to the cross. This is why in this image we have the manger pictured, but the cross is there ever present to remind us that he came on a mission. Pastor John Piper, in his beautiful Advent book, The Dawn of Indestructible Joy, he wrote, Christmas is the beginning of the story of the cross. Jesus came to be rejected, to be crucified, and to rise. He came to die so we could live. The incarnation, that God would come to be with us, is proof of his love for us. And this is not sentimental love. This isn't that Hallmark movie love that we so easily can just know exactly where the story is going. This is a sacrificial love, a covenantal love. This is a bloodied cross type of love. I want you to imagine for a moment the rejection and how often that shows up in our own lives. See, on this side of the cross, rejection is typically not so explicit. That definitely exists. There are those that would completely reject Jesus and reject what he came to do. But in our context, I find more often than not, it's not outright rejection. It's more of a rejection that shows up as indifference. Many claim to be followers of Jesus and yet ignore him and the life that he came to give. It's like a gift on Christmas morning. You wake up. Can you imagine the gifts? I know all the kids have already been dreaming of this for weeks. The tree is glowing as it does. The stockings are hung. And everything has been opened, but one gift is there under the tree. And the entire morning you've noticed it's the biggest gift there is. It's beautifully wrapped. The best paper. No wrinkles. Perfectly folded. Your name is on the tag. And it's from someone that you know loves you deeply. The entire morning and even leading up to this day, you've been admiring it. You've taken pictures of it. You've posted it on your gram. Look at this amazing gift I got. But you never open it. It just sits there, wrapped, beautiful, unopened, day after day, year after year. You move it from house to house. You tell your kids how beautiful it is, but you never actually open it and find what's inside. That's what happens, friends, when we celebrate Jesus at Christmas, his birth, the manger, the star, the angels, but we never open the gift he came to give us. We miss the point. He didn't come just to be admired. He came to die. He came to forgive. He came to rescue you, to adopt us into his family. This is what John is telling us in verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. They saw the gift. They understood who it was from, but they didn't open it. Let's not make that same mistake this season. Don't stop at the wrapping. Don't stop at the manger. Remember these words, God's word to us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And why did he come? So he could be rejected by some, so he could be crucified, so he could redeem you and I. Jesus didn't come simply to be celebrated. He came to be sacrificed. And this is what makes Advent so urgent. We're not just marveling at the birth of Jesus. We're being called to believe in his name and in his mission. He came not just to dwell among us, but to die for us, to shower us with his grace. This is the third thing that we see in this text, that the word is majestic, the word is love, and the word is grace. By his grace, he gives us the right to be called children of God. This is what he teaches us. Look at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, not all rejected him. This is my hope for you and I, that we would receive him. Some of you have never truly put your faith in Jesus Christ. You may have hung out around Jesus and some Jesus-y people, but you have never believed. For about all who did receive him. And how do we receive him? By believing in his name, he gave the right to be adopted as children of God. This is the glorious turn in this text. Those who believe. The same way Abram, going all the way back in Genesis, believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. He found that he was made right with God. We too believe in what Jesus came to do. And in that belief, we are adopted. And I love the way John writes this. He gave them the right to become children of God, who were born by what? Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by God alone. This teaches us that our faith and our standing before God is not earned. It's not inherited by a bloodline. It's not, I'm a part of this family or I'm not a part of the right family, and so I don't have a right to this. It's not that we would do enough or couldn't do enough. It's not obtained by effort. The incarnate Christ came down so that we might be lifted up and be adopted into the family of God. This is why at this church we say over and over again, we believe that the church is most beautiful when we live together as a family, because that is what we are. And when we don't live together as a family, when we forget that we are adopted sons and daughters, the family of God, we're not living out the identity that he came to give us. We're not living out who we truly are. He came so that we could be adopted. Yes, we receive forgiveness, but even more than that, we receive a family. J.I. Packer once said, adoption is the highest privilege the gospel offers. We are privileged to be adopted into God's family. Justification is that legal ground of foundation that we are adopted into his family, but adoption as sons and daughters, that is the peak. We're made righteous. We have this legal foundation, But more than that, you are a son or a daughter. We're rescued from our sins, but we're welcomed into his kingdom. Some of you have been longing for belonging. Some of you have been desiring and looking for identity in all of the places you could find it, whether it be your profession or your friend group or your hobbies or these sorts of things. And God's word to us says, believe in my name and be adopted as a son or a daughter into my family, where you will belong and you will find your identity in me. This is the beauty of what happens when we believe. And how do we know this is true? Because as John says, they had seen, and we today still have seen, his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the end of verse 14. He came and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The beauty of the church is, yes, that we're adopted as sons and daughters, but we also get to look around and hear testimony. And those testimonies testify to us that I've seen the glory of Christ. And I can look around this room, and I know some of your stories. And because I know some of your stories, I know that what Jesus came to do is true, because I've seen it at work in you. And we've seen it at work in one another. This is what Advent leads to. It's not just sentiment, but it's a status. It's a new position as a son or a daughter of God. Heirs with Christ, because the Word became flesh. Finally, there in verse 16, he says, from his fullness, from Jesus' fullness, we have received grace upon grace. I remember a time when I was standing in a river fishing, you know, one of my favorite hobbies in the mountains. I was there in the evening time, and in the evening time in this particular river, they allow the water to sort of be released from the dam, and so the waters begin to rise, and I'd been fishing and having a great time, and all of a sudden, I'm standing in the middle of the river and realize, I better get out of here. I'm about to get washed over. This is the description, grace upon grace, this washing, this sort of cascade of grace has been poured out over us. You've gotten all the grace in Jesus Christ that you need for your sins. All the grace you need to cover your suffering. All the grace you need to draw you back from your wandering. Grace wrapped in the skin of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So friends, believe in this Jesus. Receive from him this morning. And if you've already received, rest. See, we live differently because of the first advent. We live in this grace of Christ. And we also live with an expectancy of his second coming, this second advent. And if Christ came in the flesh to dwell among us, what does that mean for us today as his church? We, the adopted sons and daughters of God, we are now, God's word describes us as the body of Christ. We are his presence here on earth. And so we too are called to dwell among the people, our city, our communities. We don't withdraw from those places, but we're a presence in them. We are an incarnational, loving testimony, and intentional lives lived for the glory of Christ. So Jesus entered our mess, and Jesus entered into our brokenness. Likewise, those of us who have put our faith and have believed and have been adopted as sons and daughters, we've also now been sent with this mission to live in the same way. Jesus didn't love from a distance. He stepped in. And so we should do the same. So this Advent season, I would ask you, how are you living out this mission, understanding your status, your belonging, who you are in Christ? Could perhaps your family dwell closer to someone in need? In your workplace, could you offer more than just a smile, but be an incarnational testimony of the power of the gospel, a witness to Christ, be a presence in those people's lives? What about your neighbors and your friends? Maybe they need to be seen in a way that they haven't been seen before, because Christ sees them and you are the ones who've been called. Can you add one more to your table this season, to your fight club, to your community. Pursue others in the way that Christ has pursued us. Let's be a church that doesn't just celebrate that the Word became flesh, but becomes a people who lives that incarnational work amongst those that we have been sent to. So today, we behold the glory of Christ, the majesty of Christ, the love of Christ, the grace of Christ. We understand that it calls us, compels us to live differently. We're going to come to the table of glory. And as you do, I invite you to ponder for a moment that bigness of Christ, just how glorious he is. And as you're pondering that truth, that reality, hold in the same place in your heart the nearness of Christ. Because I believe as I've thought about those two things over and over again, not just this week, but for many weeks thinking about this message, the bigness of Jesus, and yet he became close, he became small so that he could draw near to me. My heart has been compelled to worship. I've been reminded of the grace that I have received. We take the bread and we take the cup. And yes, we do that to remember the cross, but we remember that that cup and that bread represent a body that was broken, an incarnate body broken for us, blood that was shed for us to bear our sin and lead us into eternal life. This is why Paul declares at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim that he came to die until he comes again. So as you come to the table, remember, the Word became flesh so that flesh could be pierced for us. The eternal Son became broken so that we might be made whole. And he dwelt amongst us, was with us, so that we could be with him forever. Worship him in that truth. Take the bread, his body given for you. The cup, his blood shed for you. Shed for your adoption and remember. This is the joy of Advent, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we, yes, have seen his glory. The table invites you. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me give you some instructions how a lot of people in a very small room will receive from the table. Our elders are coming forward to serve the table. And if you've been with us before, this is going to be a little bit of a change for you. If you've never been with us before, then just follow these instructions and we will pray that it goes well. Those of you that are seated on the wings on the outside of our room, there will be an elder there to serve you both the bread and the juice. And if you will exit your aisles on the outside and then return here to the inner aisle to your seats, at the same time, brace yourselves, friends, at the same time, those of you in the center are going to exit from the center aisle and make your way around so that we have a little more time at the end after receiving the elements to just sit in the presence of Jesus. That's our desire for attempting to speed up our service. So those of you on the outside, go to the outside sections and we'll have two lines of traffic kind of going back to your seats on these outer aisles. And if you need help, one of our elders will gladly direct you or just follow your neighbor. The table is open, by the way, to all who have believed in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be a member of City Church to come to the table. You simply have to say, I am coming to the table to remember what Christ has done for me because I'm a follower of Jesus. And if that's not you, if you're unsure, you'd say, I'm not really a follower of Jesus today. We're so honored and glad that you're here. And our invitation to you in this moment is to sit and just pray. You took a step of faith to show up this morning. We honor that. And I believe and trust that God brought you here so you could hear what Jesus came to do for you. Take all your questions, and all you have to do is just say, God, I don't really understand what this guy's talking about. I don't know why exactly you brought me here. But ask this step, this question of faith. Would you speak to me now? Would you help me to understand and to believe? And we pray that today might be the day of salvation for you, where God would speak by the power of his Spirit. You would come and understand what Christ had done. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll come to the table and receive from the Lord. Jesus, I thank you that you came. Yes, you came to die out of your great love for us. I pray that we would trust and believe in that work, what you came to do. Thank you that there are many in this room that are the testimony of your grace upon grace, testimony of what you have done, adopted sons and daughters. And so as we come forward to your table, may we remember that you came to die for us, that we might join you as members of your family, but then also join you on mission to take your gospel message to the world. Help us to do that. Pray this Advent season we would recommit our lives to just adding one more into our presence. And for anyone who is doubting this morning, Holy Spirit, would you speak? We bless them. We thank you for bringing them into our family this morning to sit with us, to explore and consider who you are. Holy Spirit, would today be the day of salvation as they believe. We pray all these things in your beautiful, in your holy name. Amen.
Would you stand? In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Sing it out. Praise the Father. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost. Not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. No English was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. So we praise the Father, praise the Son. Stone was moved for good, for the Lamb that conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. This gospel, truth of old, shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Son. Praise the Spirit, Creator One, God of glory, Majesty. We praise forever to the King of Kings. We praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Amen. We celebrate that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us that He might go to the cross so we could be adopted into His family as sons and daughters. Paul recounts for us in his letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, what he received from Jesus. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks for it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim that Jesus came on a mission to give his life, to die, but also to be assured that he will come again. Because he ends there, he says, until he comes again. And that is what, on this side of the cross, in the Advent season, we long for him to come again. We look forward to that day. Don't move too quickly from this moment, friends. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your broken body, your shed blood on our behalf. We worship you and give you thanks that you drew close to us. You are not far. You came to dwell amongst us, to die, to redeem us, so that we could be adopted as sons and daughters. May we never lose sight of that glorious truth. And perhaps this Advent season, may it rest more fully on our hearts. Exactly what you came to do. Yes, Jesus, you became a man so that we, men and women, could become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you. We worship you. We do it all in your beautiful name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. Oh, you say.